Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Christopher Music, and I'd like to welcome you to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I'm your host, and I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule today to listen to this show. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I put this show together to help you achieve what I call financial power. And, you know, it really simply means that you're in such a level of abundance in your household as far as your income, that you're free of all debt. You have basically all of your assets virtually protected as much as possible. Your business is booming and throwing off a lot of income and profit into the household. You are setting aside your own personal pension plan, that income stream that's going to give you a reliable minimum monthly income to cover your lifestyle needs the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. And you have time free to pursue other important goals and purposes in your life. That is what this whole idea of financial power is about. I've been a practicing financial advisor now for almost 24 years, and I have found, working with thousands of families, the same problems. We don't really understand the fundamentals of this thing called financial planning, the actions, the knowledge, the truths that are needed in order to make a success economically and financially in life. And so that's why I put this show together, because while I'll talk once in a while on some of these basic principles, I have also found some rock star experts that have their own expertise in some ancillary area of your personal financial well-being. It could be in marketing, or it could be in investment management, or as we have today, we have a real estate management expert going to be on our show. His name's Eric Wilner. You're not going to want to miss our interview with him today. He's going to be talking about how to take the fear out of real estate investing. And I don't know about you, but I've had a good experience in my real estate investments over the years, and I was able to avoid the catastrophe of 2006 and on, but a lot of our listeners weren't so lucky. And I think we're going to find today some incredible knowledge and insight into how to use this very valuable asset class as part of your wealth building and protection plan. But before we hear from Eric, I want to share just a couple of concepts with you that I think it's going to be really important for you to understand as we go through your financial life. But more importantly, when we listen to Eric talk today about what he's talking about. And the fundamental concepts that I want to clear up with you is what is the definition of an investment is versus a speculation. I think we get confused because there is this subject that is very prevalent in today's media and information channels called perception management. And if you want to know what that is, go Google it. I think it'll be surprising to you to see what is involved in that particular subject. But in a nutshell, it basically means if you repeat enough stuff enough times, it becomes true. Called wordsmithing. It's called PR. It could be called propaganda. I don't care what you call it. It is a communication that changes the way we think about things because of a repeated message. So we tend to confuse investment with speculation. What is investment? Well, simply this. You put money, allocate money toward a productive use. And your first intention is to retain the value of that investment, that money going in, that principal. And then if you make some incremental returns above and beyond that, well, that's great. That's called an investment. Now, what could be considered an investment by that definition? It's your more conservative areas to put your money, like short-term bonds, savings accounts, CDs, maybe life insurance policies, whole life, or something called a fixed annuity. Those are investments. And In most times and places, it could be residential real estate, especially your own home. All right, now we take a look at speculation. Now, speculation is when we're dealing with the reality of short-term ups and downs of value with the expectation of gaining a greater return in the long run. So everything else that's not under the investment definition is by definition speculation. That is really any investment in equities, stocks, longer-term bonds will be included there. Most real estate would be speculative, especially commercial real estate. Small businesses, of course, any kind of trading or commodities investments or alternatives would all be speculation. Now, I'm not saying speculation is bad, not at all. Our whole entire economy is built on speculation. It's when we do not recognize or think we are investing when we are in fact speculating. In other words, our household risk profile becomes so aggressively invested that when we have market crashes or corrections or whatever you want to call them occur, we tend to get wiped out. We tend to get hit on the chin. And we don't realize how much risk we're taking until the bad season comes around. That's the part that frustrates me. And many investors become aggressive when markets are up and become extremely conservative when markets crash. I think that's funny how that happens, because we only have a memory that actually goes back maybe 5 years at the maximum when it comes to many of our investment decisions. Well, we need to dispel these errors, because if we keep making these errors, and I have these conversations day in and day out with clients, I tell you, it's fascinating that we think we're investing when we're speculating, and when we actually understand the risk we're taking in some of our investments, oh my gosh, the song will change. The key to any investment, before you look at rate of return, is always, what risk am I managing? You know, it's unfortunate that the calculations of risk, the measurements of risk, aren't put next to the rates of return that we see in advertisements. You know, there should be a law or something, a regulation passed, that if you're going to show we made X percent rate of return on this investment over the last X number of years, then there should be an agreed upon numerical scale of overall risk that was taken to achieve that rate of return. As a matter of fact, I might do some work on that. That's a pretty good idea, I think. So, because what if we had that? You as a professional investor would always ask, what risk am I taking first? And then look at rates of return. And I think what we're going to find out today is that Eric is going to have some incredible insight on how to manage the risk that is inherent in investment real estate. Because it can be a wonderful asset class for you if we manage the risk involved with it. So we're going to take a quick break. And up next, we're going to be talking with my special guest, real estate management expert Eric Wilner. And he'll be giving you his insight and expertise on why real estate is still a good investment and how to overcome the fear of owning rental property. You are not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, explains how not to lose the value of your life's work. What you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. Pericles, 5th century before Common Era, Greek statesman. Your estate is simply all of the assets you own or are entitled to under the law. A good estate plan will ensure your assets are dispersed according to your wishes when you pass. Estate planning includes different types of legal documents and instructions for your friends and family so they can act in your interest with confidence. Proper estate planning will perpetuate your wealth to your family, friends, and charities, and better accomplish the purposes for which that wealth was accumulated. Learn more about how not to lose the value of your life's work when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. That's pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Christopher Music. I'm the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. Now, before the break, I shared with you the difference between investment and speculation, and I'm going to introduce my next guest. Eric Wilner is a 31-year veteran of real estate and the president of Capital One Group, a full-service real estate property management and consulting company that he started 11 years ago, managing properties for real estate investors, out-of-state homeowners, real estate agents, as well as banks and other institutions. He is also a well-known host of South Florida's oldest and longest continuously running radio show about real estate. It is also the longest running daily radio show in America called The Real Estate Show. And his focus is on the best ways to invest, own, and operate real estate. And just so you know, The Real Estate Show is heard live Monday through Friday locally on AM 740 and FM 96.9. And now worldwide on iHeartRadio as well. So make sure you catch it if you can. Eric is also a noted coach and mentor to real estate investors nationwide. He uses his vast experience and loves what he does most, helping investors build wealth through real estate, cure real estate problems, and teach everyday people the benefits of owning real estate. So I'm very pleased to welcome Eric Wilner.
Thank you, Christopher, and thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, man, I'm glad we got a chance to hook up here. So you're a real estate guru, and I'd like for you to tell our listeners your story about how you got into real estate business and, you know, how you made it through all these ups and downs the last 11 years.
Well, you know, it's funny, you never think of yourself as a real estate guru. You always look at someone else as being a guru. But I guess 31 years of being in the business, immersed in the business, does give you quite a bit of experience. Now, believe it or not, and it's funny because I think a lot of people, when I tell them the original story, I started out and I was going to school at the University of Southern California, and I was studying electrical engineering, but something caught my attention, and I went to what a lot of people still do today, is they go to one of these weekend real estate investing courses to learn something about real estate, which everyone talks about. And of course, you know, there's so many success stories out there about real estate. So like a lot of people, I was curious about real estate, and I attended a weekend seminar while I was still in school. And as a college student, I guess I was just too naive to know better. And I set out and I bought my first house. So I just started there, thought that that was kind of neat, and realized that once you had your first investment, if you didn't have anybody there helping you or guiding you, then I set out to get, you know, all the information that I possibly could. And that involved, I went out and got a real estate license as well. And the rest, as you say, is history.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it?
It is.
So, you know, this real estate area, I've spent my time in real estate too. I bought my first property at 23 and 22, actually. One of those no money down deals that Carlton Sheets used to teach on the infomercials. And
good old Carlton Sheets. I think secretly, and that's probably one of the courses that probably more Americans own but won't admit that they own it.
Right. That's funny. You know, and that's where the education in real estate is so important. And you created this radio show that you wanted to educate the public. Well, why'd you do that? What brought that about?
Well, probably from, as I mentioned, personal experience. You know, you hear so much of the good side about real estate, but you don't learn the nitty gritty, and you don't always learn. And it's funny, as you were opening the show and you were talking about the difference between speculation versus investment, you know, and just going out and buying any investment and not being informed about it and not being guided with it, it really is the definition of speculation. And the difference, I think, between the two is to A, understand what you're doing, and B, even more important, is to have a plan with what you're doing. Because similar to you and your business, I and my business, one of the first things and one of the biggest jobs that I have is that perception management, you know, or the management of the expectations. And that way, once you understand that, then it's a lot easier to A, understand and identify the risks, and then manage the risk. Because in every investment, there's inherently some risk involved everywhere. But the object of the game is to understand what it is and match the right needs with the right risks and the right rewards.
You know, I deal with professionals, and it's funny to me how, you know, most people come to me who are, you know, doctors or dentists or what have you, and they'll say, well, you know, I own real estate. And I say, well, that's great. You know, what's your involvement in it? And they really, they don't treat it as a professional activity. They treat it as a hobby or as a, well, gee, I just own some real estate. It's not, you see what I mean? How it isn't treated as a professional business. Can you comment on that?
Absolutely. In fact, one of my most frequently said cliches, if you listen to my radio program, is that real estate is like a business. It's a serious thing. And if you treat it like a business, it will pay you like a business. If you treat it like a hobby, well, you know how hobbies pay. So that's, you know, that whole fundamental concept, along with the idea of educating. And, you know, I believe that the more that I can educate the public and the more that I can educate the listeners, the better of a relationship that I'll have with them eventually when they contact me. And more importantly, the better they'll do, the better off that they'll be in the marketplace. And, you know, the healthier the real estate economy is, the healthier our general economy is, and the healthier our economy is, the happier, safer, more peaceful life. And of course, it all comes all the way to making a better country.
Yeah, great, man. So you've often quoted as saying that real estate is an ideal investment. Now, what do you mean by that?
You know, I like using acronyms a lot in my business to help people to solidify and remember things. So I do say that real estate is the ideal investment. Of course, you know, I might be a little bit partial towards real estate as an investment, but there are five key characteristics that real estate has and possesses. And it's hard to find another investment out there that has all five of these characteristics. And so the I for the ideal stands for income. Real estate, when managed like a business, invested properly with a plan, creates monthly income deposited directly into your account month after month after month. The D for ideal stands for the depreciation, or all the tax advantages that real estate has. And real estate really is favored in a lot of ways over all other investments. There's so many advantages and tax benefits that are involved that it really pays to know what those are, because they can make tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of dollars in difference over a period of time. The E in ideal stands for the equity. And the neat thing about real estate, even when you buy it and you buy it financed, the methodical rent payment that gets paid every month, once it pays the principal, interest, the taxes, and the insurance, at the end of the month, it leaves a positive cash flow, which is that income. But the part of that payment to the mortgage company pays down the mortgage and builds up equity. So even in a flat or very slow market, you've got equity buildup going on through the methodical plan of real estate. A, which I call the icing on the cake, which is appreciation. It's not a matter of if there will be appreciation. There will be appreciation, especially if you are a medium to long-term investment. And the L, of course, is the leverage. And again, this is another investment vehicle that offers you the ability to control a large investment with a relatively small amount of money. So when you put all those five factors together and you pay attention to those five factors as you make your real estate investment decision, the outcome is pretty predictable, and that's why we talk about the safe and simple approach to buying real estate.
All right, did you all hear that? He talked about the ideal being ideal income, depreciation, equity, appreciation, and leverage. If we treat this activity like a business.
Yes.
I think that's a critical point, Eric. You know, we could probably spend the rest of the hour just talking about that.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny that you say that, because one of the most common questions that I get when people find out that I've had this radio show for the last 17 years is like, Eric, what do you come up with? What do you talk about every single day? And as you can see, you know, an hour simply wouldn't be enough for us to cover everything.
Of course. And, you know, it's funny when I talk to these professionals who, you know, the people who can afford to own real estate, you know, your professional or your successful business people, we tend to, you know, we all want a business that we can have owned passively, get passive income from, which means our time's freed up to do other things. yes. but yet we're getting income from these assets. And I think we all go into a real estate investing thinking that's going to be something that's going to occur. What are the challenges with that?
Well, and that's the thing, is it can, but back to the word, and I know I hammer on certain concepts and principles, and a plan for me is one of them. And by the way, later on, I'll tell you, I even have an acronym for plan as well. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, people have this sort of romantic idea of what real estate is, which is that, you know, automatic, passive, continuous, never-ending, you know, evergreen realist income coming into your account. And it absolutely is possible for you to do that if you sit down and create that plan. And for some people, they have the ability to get this and do it and implement it themselves. For other people, you know, especially professionals, because my clients actually span from school teachers and nurses and, you know, your real everyday people who own passive real estate. And what's neat is to watch as that real estate portfolio grows. Many times, not only does it supplement their income, but for some people, we sit down and we plan the eventual replacement of their income through the growth of real estate and passive income. And for other professionals who are, like you mentioned, your doctors and some of the more busy entrepreneurs who, you know, don't have enough hours in the day themselves, we've created a program and a process where they can own real estate, because everybody likes to, you know, be in real estate, but not everybody. In fact, I would say not even the majority of people like to do real estate. And that's why we came up with the automatic landlord concept. And, you know, that's something that we can talk a whole bunch more. In fact, I could talk for hours, if not days, about that.
Well, real quickly, just before we take the break here, just give us a quick definition of what that automatic program is, that automatic landlord program is.
You know, what we figured out was, you know, a couple of things. Number one is that the process of landlording is a pretty easy to describe and easy to define process, you know, from the point of installing a tenant. And of course, that has its own process of being able to filter out. You know, one of the biggest mistakes a lot of beginning landlords make is they'll take anybody. And I would much rather have one more month of vacancy on the front to get the right tenant, because it can take months to get them out. Whereas if I wait one more month and do a better job of screening and filtering that tenant, I can have a much more peaceful and productive and, more importantly, profitable relationship. Then once the tenant is in there, it's very simple. It's a matter of, you know, setting up a process for following up on the collections, setting up a process for handling maintenance issues if and when they come up. And then the process becomes fairly simple.
Well, that's, you know, that's probably one of the main points that busy professionals, because, you know, I don't want to be involved in real estate personally. That's something that, you know, I don't have the interest of spending time to learn or you know, do real estate, as you would say. I'm more interested primarily in the benefits of the investment of it, as I'd spend my time doing what I love to do. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know that what you have is out there. All right, well, it's time for weather and traffic update. And up next, we're going to continue to talk with real estate management expert Eric Wilner. And we'll continue to talk to him about how everyday people can begin building wealth through real estate. You are definitely not going to want to miss this. And when he comes back, he's going to have a special offer, I'm sure. So you're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned for weather and traffic up next.
Private practice Millionaire Academy founder and talk radio host of Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, shares the three secrets to achieving unlimited wealth. Financial prosperity can be achieved by following three primary principles illustrated in a PIE triangle. The P represents protecting assets and income from the 83 plus specific and measurable risks threatening the long-term affluence of a household. I equals income, which actually creates abundance and an overall improved financial condition. The E refers to expenses after income, earned in relation to funding the immediate and long-term goals of the household and its members. Each corner must work together to stay equal and strong and represent the overall financial condition of the family. What's important is the interrelationship of these three elements. To reach financial power and unlimited wealth, you must raise each corner of the pie triangle. Discover additional secrets in achieving a lifetime of financial success when you visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Okay, folks, we're back, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. We're talking with real estate management expert Eric Wilner on why real estate is still a good investment and how to overcome the fear of owning rental property. So, Eric, why now is it a good time to get into real estate?
Wow, that's a great question, because really now is a particularly good question. Now, of course, you know, the old Chinese proverb, you know, when was the best time to plant a 20-year-old tree? And of course, that was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. And a similar question that I get sometimes is, you know, when should I invest in real estate? And I always say, first of all, when you can, because real estate is best when it's an intermediate to long-term investment. That's where the really big rewards are reaped in real estate. Now, not that real estate can't be bought and sold like a commodity, just like anything else, and you can buy it, fix it up, and sell it, or you can buy it and then simply just sell it because of the arbitrage that you can get in the price range. But when you look at today's environment, especially after having gone through, you know, the Great Recession, and you see all the well-reported strides that have been going on, first of all, with the lenders, you know, the lenders basically disappeared from the market, and now they're starting to come back, and now they're becoming more and more liberal, because when the market just started to come back, the first thing that we saw is that you could have any kind of mortgage out there that you want, so long as it was a 30-year fixed mortgage. It was kind of like the Henry Ford days in the finance business after all of the turmoil that went through. But now lenders are becoming what they're doing is making smart loans again. And, you know, if you qualify for a loan, you'll get it. And they're doing, I would say, good common sense lending. You look at what investors have done over the last couple of years. In fact, as we were talking about before, that there is this concept that really should be embraced, which is treat it like a business and it'll pay you like a business. The level of investors, particularly in the housing market, which used to be sort of the domain of the mom and pop investors, you know, it was mostly individuals, professional companies, hedge funds, the big pension funds only bought large commercial buildings. Today, those hedge funds own homes all over America. So the level and the quality of how investments are going has improved. Policymakers are out there. You know, they're trying to make it easier for Americans to own homes. They did a lot of policies over the years to help as many Americans as possible to save their homes. But when you look at that, you see, we've got a nice, healthy momentum. Not outlandish, not crazy, certainly nowhere in the neighborhood of what people used to call a bubble. And then you look at the demand curve. Where is it fueled from? And it's fueled by the baby boomers. You know, it was the largest demographic segment of the population. And today, you know, many of them are at or in retirement. They have good spending power. They're trading up still. Some of them are trading sideways, and even some are separating what they've accomplished in real estate, saving some of the money and even trading down. Then you add the 80 million millennials that now are entering the marketplace. First, they came in and they were a really healthy and strong force to fill the rental pool back up and create rental demand. And as you saw all over the country, the first thing that came back were rental communities. And so these are bigger investors that were providing the huge demand for rental properties fueled by the people who were pushed out of housing during the market turmoil and all the new millennials coming in. And so even today, the demand for rental property is quite strong. And when you add to that what I just sort of alluded to, which is you factor in the lack of new supply, while this whole thing was going on, for the last almost 10 years, there was no construction. So the population continued to grow. The demand started growing as the youth became older, particularly the millennial. And then you look at the suppressed homeownership rate that you have from the folks that got pushed out of the housing market, and you have a lot of still fuel, propulsion, if you will, needed to lift this market, and you know, you, the investor, if you decide to take advantage of this. So now is a particularly interesting time for investing in real estate. And if you follow some basic guidelines and principles, and you know, and one of my foundational things is you gotta buy with positive cash flow. The days of buying something speculating, as you mentioned, about a future appreciation and then carrying a negative cash flow was one of the big mistakes that happened when the market got too frothy. But today, the object of the game is cash flow first, and then we take care of the other factors that are involved in investing in real estate.
Yeah, great. I mean, you know, that's good to know that it's still a good investment today. And now let's talk about why everyday people may not invest in it, and why doesn't everybody own real estate?
You know, that's a really good question that I often, when I speak either at seminars, workshops, or when I'm asked to speak, you know, I like to kind of poll the audience, and especially when it's a real estate oriented event, you know, I say to everyone, who here thinks that real estate is a good investment? And I get about 97-99% of the people will raise their hand and say real estate's a great investment. And then I follow it up with the question, is who here owns real estate that is not their personal residence? And I get about 1 in 3 people raising their hand. So you see the dramatic drop-off, and you would say, well, if everybody thinks that real estate is such a great investment, why doesn't everybody buy it? And then I ask that same question. Why do you think that 2 out of 3 people don't buy real estate that are in attendance today? And usually I hear things like money or financing, and it's not that. You know, you'll be surprised to find out that it actually has nothing to do with money. In fact, as you know, when a homeowner who uses an FHA type of a loan, for example, puts 3% down, 3.5% down, which is the equivalent of first, last, and security. So if you can afford to rent, you actually could afford to own your own home, assuming credit and those other things, verifiable income and so forth. But the real reason, the number one reason why people don't buy real estate, and I often even they talk about wanting to buy real estate, is what you talked about in the beginning of the program, which is fear. You know, the fear, you know, which are the false expectations appearing real. It's the thought of all the things that could go wrong would probably happen to them if they decided to get into real estate. And then they ask questions such as, you know, should I buy a house? Should I buy a condo? Should I buy a townhouse? Should I buy more on the east side of town or the west side of town? Should I buy, you know, where people are migrating more and more north, or should I buy in the established areas? Should I, and then, you hear these all these shouldas, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 years go by, and then you hear the comment, you know, I should have bought back then when prices were so low. And as you know, over time, it's invariable. The cycle repeats. So that's the number one reason is fear. And that usually happens because either a lack of information or a lack of education. And that's why the real estate show is on every single day to try to allay some of those fears, dispel a lot of the myths, what I call, you know, the TNT of real estate. And that's really like the second biggest reason why people don't get involved in investment type real estate, is because they have a fear of what I call the TNT, that tenants and toilets. They, they're afraid of those alien people that occupy their properties, which don't have the same values of home ownership that someone who owns real estate has, that doesn't think in the same way that an investor who is building wealth and building assets over time, you know, they have a different concept. And that's why we came up with our automatic landlord approach, so that investors who wanted to participate and benefit from all of the benefits of real estate could do so while having it professionally managed on autopilot by people who knew exactly what they were doing in that field.
Yeah, it's great. You know, and that's why I do my financial education activities, because it's really paralysis by analysis. People don't know the truth. They don't know the facts. And they do get hit with fear, because look at most of financial press. It's fear, 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 you know, and it freaks people out. I mean, those who are listening today, I know that affects you, and it affects your decisions. And we want for you prosperity and abundance and affluence. And that's why I have Eric on the show. So, Eric, we had alluded to this automatic landlord before the break. Can you just give us a bit more about that, what that is?
Yeah. In fact, I'll tell you a little bit about how that all started. And my partner and I, who had started the company, were very involved with the radio program and educating people. And we would have these one-on-one meetings or group workshops to show people about investing. And once people understand and some of the fear goes away, then they're all in and they're very excited. And so we were selling and financing a lot of income producing properties. You know, we had a great deal of expertise in how to find the right properties and how to select them and how to negotiate them. We had a great deal of experience in the financing of the property. But the number one objection raised all the time was, great, but who's going to manage the properties? And after looking around for someone to do it, we realized that a lot of the property managers that you see out there, a lot of times are real estate agents who are, quote unquote, sort of doing a favor, or were part-timing in this business of property management. Remember, they're entrusting large assets to someone, and these people were not really vested or invested in the management. So we saw that the way that they were doing it, no automation, no systems in place, really not much of a business plan at all. So we looked at all the business models around that existed, and we said, you know what? We can do this, and we can do this better. And thus was born the property management company that we had that, in fact, we did and still do offer a program where investors that buy the real estate through us, we offer the first year of property management absolutely free. And when you think about that, that means that when you first buy an investment property, usually there's a month lag to get a tenant, so you lose a month of income there. Usually when you turn around and ask someone to go rent the property for you, they're going to charge a commission to find a tenant. And of course, that's one more month of income gone. And then the person who manages and actually collects the rent and handles all the maintenance things, they tend to be someone who gets compensated as a percentage of the rent, and therefore eating into further. So it's almost impossible, the traditional way, for someone to break even on a piece of real estate. And no one even tells you that in most cases. And so what we did is we set it up so that that wouldn't happen. And we offer the first year of management for free for our clients. And then obviously to be able to produce that, you better be very efficient, and you better have some really good automated systems and accounting checks, points, and balances in place to be able to deliver that. And that's how the automatic landlord whole concept and formula was devised.
Fabulous. That's one of the biggest areas that need to be handled as far as risk management, is managing that property. Oh my gosh. Well, all right, folks, we're going to be taking a quick break. And up next, we're going to be wrapping up our interview with our very special guest, Eric Wilner, the real estate management expert, so stay tuned.
Private practice millionaire academy founder and talk radio host of the Financial Power Hour, P. Christopher Music, explains how to live your art and promote your brand. Professionals dedicated to pursuing excellence in their chosen field recognize that every profession, from hardcore scientist to abstract artist, have both science and art in that particular field. Science is a branch of knowledge or study dealing with a body of facts or truths. Art is the quality, production, expression of what is beautiful and appealing. Every professional applies the science of his subject to create an effect. The individual aesthetics applied to the science to create unique results is the art form, wholly unique to that individual. This becomes the brand. Your brand is your warranty to the customer, the assurance that the artistic application of the science of what you do will afford them the results they seek. Discover the secrets to living your art and promoting your brand. Visit the blog page at pchristophermusic.com. Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Christopher Music, the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire, and we have a rock star expert today, Eric Wilner, and he's spending time with us sharing his knowledge and experience in the real estate marketplace and how to overcome the fear of owning property. Now, Eric, you said you have a coaching and mentoring program, and you work closely with financial advisors. Now, how does all that work?
Well, you know, over the years, I've had a pretty long background, in and out of the financial services, and I've worked very closely with financial advisors, and I have a strong understanding about how financial advisors work and how different financial products work together, and in fact, how many of them complement each other. And real estate is part of a good financial plan. And a lot of some financial advisors out there think that that their products compete against real estate, you know, probably because it's, you know, assets under management, et cetera. But personally, on the other hand, I believe that they work very well together. And really the secret to success of having a good, sound financial plan is having all of your assets, you know, complement each other and work together. And so working and finding out the financial advisor that quarterbacks everything else has really led to a lot of great results over the years. So I actually love and welcome working with financial advisors in every aspect that I can. Now, in addition to that, we have over the years been requested to help coach investors that are getting started. And so what we developed was basically a five-step program on how to invest in real estate. And, you know, there are plenty of books and tapes and courses and everything out there, and a lot of them probably are bought and left shrink-wrapped on shelves somewhere because the information is really only part of the equation. The guidance, the hand-holding, the assistance, you know, the proper strategies, the proper techniques, you kind of act like guardrails over a bridge to make sure that, you know, people don't make the critical mistakes. So having a coach or a mentor is really invaluable. In fact, as you know, you know, top professionals in any industry don't view their need for coaching as a sign of weakness, rather an indication that they have a sophisticated awareness of, first of all, themselves. In fact, you know, I was reading recently, there was a survey done by Metrics Global that said 70% of CEOs who run Fortune 500 companies, and remember, we talked about running your real estate as if you were running a business, 70% of the CEOs who run Fortune 500 companies are currently getting business coaching. And these guys realize the value of having someone hold them accountable, somebody that will bring that much needed outside perspective. Because a lot of times we're so involved and engrossed in what we're doing that we have blind spots. And sometimes having an unemotional third party look at what you're doing. So a lot of times we come in for the novice. We can set up their business in a very short period of time the right way the first time, and then guide them along the way through each of those steps. For experienced investors, we come in and sort of do an audit of the business and find out, you know, what they're doing right and what they're not doing. And you know, the learning curve can push them ahead literally years with that. So the coaching and the ongoing mentoring has become a very popular resource for investors, and you can see the results pretty quickly when they get involved in that.
You know, you made two comments there. I want to reiterate, you know, a correct financial plan absolutely must have a real estate component to it. I mean, if nothing else in your own home, but it certainly some investment real estate is part of a well-rounded financial plan. I cannot stress that enough. And Eric, I'm glad you have this service. It's just incredibly needed among the financial planning community. And the second comment I want to make to all of you who are listening today, you know, you're going to pay for experience one of two ways. You're going to pay a coach for which the fee you pay that coach or that mentor is for that person's experience and that wisdom. Or you're going to pay for it out of your own experience, which is by far more expensive. You know, I tell people I spent 25 years and $1 million out of my pocket finding out what didn't work until I built my system for me that I just happened to share with people. That's experience. You can either have that experience yourself, or you can pay a much reduced fee to get all that value. Isn't that fascinating? And when people try to do their own financial planning, I just shake my head. I'm like, you don't get it. You're just doing it the hard way. People love torture, I guess. I don't know, but
anyway, people try to do everything for themselves, which is sort of the American, concept, the cowboy outlook. But, the most successful people know what they do very, very well. And then they go out and seek the best of the best in the other areas that they want to be involved in.
Yeah, it's a fundamental principle of economics called specialization or division of labor. You do what you do best and farm out the rest. It's fascinating.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, as your final thought, in your opinion, where do you expect the opportunities really are in real estate now and in the future?
Well, one of my favorite areas of real estate and what I think is probably one of the least cyclical, at least in terms of the magnitudes of the cycle, is housing. I mean, everybody has to live somewhere. If the economy were to tighten up again, you can always downsize to a smaller office. You can shrink the store, if you will. And after all, more and more people are operating and working from their homes, from, remote locations and so forth. But you always have to have a place to live. So I'm still very bullish on the housing market for that reason, and there are certain markets that you can tell. For example, the very affluent marketplace tends to slow down and the activity tends to slow down, but that really becomes more of a paper loss than anything else. The middle market is probably the most stable, reliable, positive income generating area. And then there's the lower area, the lower price properties where, there's only so much compression that can happen. So my favorite area looking forward to the future is, in fact, housing. And when you look at the various factors, that are pointing to a generally strong future for the housing market. First of all, the fact that the recovery has been a good, and people are surprised when I say this, but a good, slow, manageable recovery rate. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to heat up too fast and go out of balance. Tight credit is still creating quite a bit of pent-up demand. So believe it or not, I think for the real estate investor, that's something that bodes well for the housing market as well.
Awesome.
And then when you – I'm sorry?
Awesome. Yeah, we have to wrap it up our interview. Now, before you go, as we're running out of time here, we have a free offer for everybody. What's that?
Yeah, what I wanted to offer your listeners is I have a presentation and a report called How to Avoid the 5 Biggest Mistakes of Buy and Hold Investing. And for any of your listeners that listen to this program or would like to get more information about that, it's an audio as well. It comes through with a PowerPoint presentation, and it's some very good and fundamental concepts that will help your listeners out.
And where do they get that?
Well, there's two places you can do. You come to my website, which is automaticlandlord.com. That's www.automaticlandlord.com. Or you can call us on our 800 number, which is 888-595-7779. That's 888-595-7779.
Awesome, Eric. Thanks so much for being here, man. You're a rock star. Really enjoyed it.
I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Christopher.
Thanks, man. Well, folks, write down one basic piece of information you got out of today that you're going to take action on. Take advantage of his offer. It's really important that you get trained in this area, take away the fear, and really get at competent and confident in your financial life. I have a download for you as well. Go to pchristophermusic.com. That's our personal website. You're going to find the 21 Laws of Prosperity for Private Practice Professionals. It's for everyone, but go there, download it at pchristophermusic.com. You're going to find an action guide there. It's going to help you quite a bit. Also go and check out our blog channel, which is www.financialprosperitytalk.com, to get archives of this particular radio show. We'll see you next time on the Financial Power Hour.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.